ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه بعد my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with the lessons in akhlaq from surah al-hujurat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in the third ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to talk about the importance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his special position. And Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَقُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَزِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people who lower their voices in the presence of Rasulullah ﷺ, they are the ones whose hearts Allah has tested for piety, for taqwa, and for them is forgiveness and a great reward. The importance of the obedience to Rasulullah ﷺ is from the fact that he is the messenger and the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore there is no obedience to Allah without obedience to Rasulullah ﷺ. And disobedience has to be absolute and unquestioning and unconditional for the same reason, which is that the very meaning of Islam is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there cannot be submission which is conditional, which is dependent on whether you like something or you don't like something. Submission means unconditional, and therefore the position of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the person who brought the message, who interpreted the message, and who taught us the message and demonstrated how it is to be implemented, and that's why the position. Now Allah is saying that those who lower their voices, as we said yesterday, lowering the voice in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also a literal meaning of lowering the voice itself, volume, but at that time as well as today and as well as till the day of judgment, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes and keeps the earth, lowering of the voice also refers to obedience to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not raising your voice means not arguing with him, not arguing with his opinions, not expressing dissatisfaction with what he has ruled. In another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, even if there is a feeling of resistance in your heart, expressing dissatisfaction, speaking out against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a very advanced form of ignorance. Allah is saying, even if you have fi qulubihim haraj, Allah said, even in their hearts, if there is some form of haraj, some form of resistance to the ruling of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that person is not a Muslim. It is such a strong thing. Now, the issue of people going against the rulings of Rasulullah ﷺ, it's interesting that this first started in Medina when Nabi ﷺ migrated, and that's where the munafiqeen were actually identified. And there were no munafiqeen in Makkah. In Makkah you had Muslims and you had the mushrikeen of Makkah who were against the Muslims. There was no third party. But in Medina you had the Muslims, you had some people who were against the Muslims, but you also had a third party of people who pretended to be Muslim. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Fi qulubihim marad, fazadahum Allahu marada, walahum azabun alimun bima kanu yakzibun." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that in their hearts is a disease, and Allah will increase the disease, and for them there is a dreadful punishment. And these were the munafiqeen. These were the people who pretended to be Muslim, and who came and who gave bayat Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to pray with him behind him in Masjid al-Nabawi and so on. But any time there, any occasion on which there was a need to support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they backed out, they reneged, they committed treason, they abandoned him, and so on and so forth. And then in their own ways, they continued to try to undermine the authority of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, try to harm him in one way or the other. And one of the things, and therefore this whole issue of arguing with the Prophet ﷺ on this or that issue is a very serious issue, which shows a level of nifaq in the heart. The term munafiq itself we do not use for anyone other than those people who were in Medina during the life of Rasulullah Sallam. But the quality of nifaq, just like the quality of taqwa of the sahaba, nobody is a sahabi other than those people who lived at the time of Rasulullah Sallam and who saw him in a state of iman, or who were in his company in a state of iman, and then they died on a state of iman. Other than that, nobody can be a sahabi. But the quality of taqwa of the sahaba is an everlasting quality that anyone can develop in themselves, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give that to us, inshallah. So also this quality of nifaq, even though the term munafiq cannot be used for anyone other than those people, the quality of nifaq, and may Allah save us from that, continues in the hearts of some people. And one of the biggest and most reliable signs of this nifaq is this tendency to speak against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tendency to disrespect Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tendency to say that yes, that is true, but I have an opinion, which means you are expressing an opinion as an independent opinion in opposition to the opinion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of these are signs of nifaq, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these are the people from Jahannam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned these people even right at his time, and this is one of the famous hadith where he said that there will come a time in the future where these people, he said, meaning people who pretend to be Muslims, he said that these people will sit on couches. The words of the hadith are interesting. He said they will sit on couches and they will hold up the Quran and they will say this book is enough for us, meaning that they are rejecting the entire body of hadith. This is a hadith, this is a sahih hadith, which means Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam predicted that people who today they call themselves Ahlul Quran or Quraniyin, how can you be Ahlul Quran when the Quran orders and commands you to obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never to raise your voice above his voice, never to disagree with his opinion, never to have any feeling, not only not speak against his ruling, but not even to have a feeling of resistance in your heart about his ruling. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pronounced the fatwa. It's not a question of with Allah, it's not a fatwa, it's the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said these are not Muslims. Now the same Quran, if you are saying the book is enough for us, then this book itself is the one who is giving this dalil. So how do you say the book is enough for you when you do not follow what's in the book? It's a sign of lying, sign of cheating, sign of nifaq, sign of hypocrisy. So therefore, this is something which is not new. This is something which Rasulullah ﷺ, from the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, this was there. And may Allah save us from that. Very, very important. Everything begins with adab. Like I said yesterday, everything begins with adab. Everything begins with attitude. If you have the wrong attitude towards the Prophet ﷺ, believe me, you can become Hafiz of the Quran. You can memorize every single book on Islam that was ever written. You can pray from morning till night. You can fast your entire life. You can give your entire wealth in donation and charity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you will still go and find and look for your own place in Jahannam, and you will sit on that chair. Because seriously, there is no Islam. You can do whatever you want. As far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu is concerned, if you have disrespected Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you have expressed an opinion other than in opposition to the opinion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you have disagreed with the ruling of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you are, as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ruling is concerned, then you are not in Islam. You are out of Islam. And as far as once you are out of Islam, it makes no difference what you did, what you didn't do. There are many Islamic scholars, not Muslim scholars. I always differentiate this. There's a difference between an Islamic scholar and a Muslim scholar. An Islamic scholar is anybody who studies Islam. And there are many Islamic scholars in America, for example, who are either Christian or Jewish or agnostic, who know more Quran and who know more Hadith than many Muslims. So just because you know Arabic and just because you can recite some Quran or you can recite some hadith, doesn't mean you are a Muslim. You are not a Muslim. A Muslim scholar is the one who is a Muslim first, who accepted Islam. Right? For that person, there's a huge difference. The difference between like light and darkness, between somebody who studies Islam like a subject and somebody who believes in Islam. They're completely different, two completely different positions. And that's why it's very important for us to make sure that we don't fall into that trap of these people who try to portray their knowledge and their so-called understanding. That knowledge and that understanding is the understanding and knowledge of Shaitan, Iblis, who because of his so-called understanding, he did not even understand the Kibriyai and Maqam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. People like to say Iblis was a great, great scholar of the time, and he had knowledge. What knowledge? Allah gives you a hukum, and you don't follow that hukum. What knowledge? Who says Iblis had knowledge? Iblis had no knowledge. Iblis was jahil mutlaq. I mean, if he had knowledge, how did he not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So where is this knowledge? Now, knowledge which takes of this kind is the knowledge of Shaitan. And that is the knowledge of the people who like to call themselves Al-Quran or Quraniyin today. Because that knowledge is what is leading them to Jahannam. That is, knowledge is what leading them to committing actions and speaking words which will be witnesses against them on the Day of Judgment. And therefore, anyone who is in that situation or any of others must immediately make tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, door of tawbah is not closed. Whether you are Quraniyin or whateveriyin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's door of tawbah is open for everybody, provided you make tawbah. But if you don't make tawbah, then you are in very, very, very serious trouble. Please understand this. And as I told you yesterday, don't fall into the trap. Don't even listen to them, because this is one of the big things. And this is, every Shaitan misguides people from where they are. And this whole Quraniyin misguidance is the misguidance of the so-called intellectuals. People who like to think of themselves as intellectual and as learned. You go and ask them, what book did you read in the last 6 months, and you know exactly how intellectual they are. But they like to pretend that, they are intellectual, intelligent people, educated people. What is the use of education which takes you to Jahannam? What is the use of education which takes you to a place where you do not respect Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? That's not education. That is the education of Shaitan. So I remind myself and you, stay far away from such people. Submit yourself completely and totally to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is to follow the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fill your heart with the love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that is where the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes from. And make yourself and I remind myself to make myself completely and totally obedient to the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live like that and to fill our hearts with his nur and with hubb and muhabbat for his Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to keep us and join us in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrects us. When we will, inshallah, that will be the means of our forgiveness and guidance. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.